George. I too want to welcome you to Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And as I've said to many of you who have visited with us, that if you are visiting, be sure to check us out a few times to see if this is the place that you are to be and begin to see that this is truly that caring place where we believe here at Hope that only God transforms lives. So we have been going through a series here together called Mythbusters, where we are debunking the myths and deepening in truth. And if there's a couple of things that hopefully you've picked up from this series over the past couple of months, is this, is to hold on to God's truths and to resist false teaching. So whether you've been here every week during the series or you've missed a couple, or that is really a major theme that has been flowing through the book of 2 Peter. And we began this whole series with one passage of scripture that we said, if there was one that you could take to memory, if there's one that you could put into your life and into your heart, is this. It was found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, where it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." So today what we're doing is we're closing out 2 Peter. But after our picnic next Sunday, we begin again on August 14th, where we look at Mythbusters Part 2, if you want to call it, in the book of Jude. And so it's been the prayer of the teaching team, it's been the prayer of the elders, that you would want to and desire to know God more deeply, to know Him more intimately, and have a desire to grow in Christ. That has been our prayer. And so that's where we look at today. Where we begin our message today is entitled, "It Won't Matter Anyway." And so as we start, just a couple of things. If you'd like to follow along, there are Bibles in the back. If you want to grab one there, or there is a half sheet, as Don mentioned just a few moments ago. It's bright orange, so you can't miss that. And if you'd like to follow along with an outline as well. And so as we begin to talk about "It Won't Matter Anyway," I thought about people who are preparing to go to college or university. Now, I never did that because I did junior college and I went on to business school and I did some of my seminary online. So to do the whole preparation of getting ready to go to university or anything, anybody familiar with that? A few of you. Well, I thought of a couple of my students who are doing that. And so in their junior year, they really began to think, where do I really want to go to school? What do I need to do to make that happen? And so they began to take their PSATs, they began to take their SATs, they began to look at schools that they would be interested in going in. Then the infamous road trips to those schools to be able to see, is this the place where I'm going to fit? And some of our students were able to shoot basketball on some of the courts at the college campus. And but you can ask that individual later on today about that. It's on Facebook if you really are interested. But the idea here is that they have to do preparation in order for that to happen. Because for any of us who went on to university or these students who are preparing to go, they're not going to knock on the campus of their choice and say this, "I'm ready to come." Because admissions is going to go, "What are your SAT scores?" "I didn't do that." "Well, what do you want to major in?" "I have no idea." "Do you even know what school you're at?" "No." So the idea here is that these students and you who did this process have to do preparation and begin to prepare for going to university. And that brings us to today in our passage in 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 11 to 18. And we see that what has happened here in chapter 3 is that Peter has rejected the false teachers who have said Christ isn't coming back. And he addressed that. Not only did he address that issue, but Peter never mentions it again. But as you go into what Chick shared last week, and I'm going to mention briefly today, is the effects that it has on the world. And it rolls into how you and I ought to live. So that's where we are this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's take a look at 2 Peter. We're going to look at chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 11 to 18. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 to 18. It starts off with verse 11 by saying this. It says, "Since everything will be destroyed in this way," referring back to what Chick shared last week, it asks, "What kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. So Peter is concluding, kind of dovetailing from what Chick shared about what is going to happen and the effects that it's going to have on the earth when Christ returns. And he begins to speak to us about how we ought to live. And so that brings us to our myth this morning. And our myth this morning says this: we have no worries about how we live because we all end up the same. Let me say that again. We have no worries about how we live because we all end up the same. In other words, in the world that we live in today, there's many thought processes on heaven. You may have heard that people say, well, all paths lead to God. Or if I'm a good person, I'm going to go. If I don't do bad things, I'm going to heaven. And so that is the myth that we are confronted with today. And so what we want to do is debunk that myth by saying this. Our truth is that we need to know that we don't all have the same destination. We need to know that we all don't have the same destination. See, the Bible is very clear that heaven is for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Recognizing that his sacrifice on the cross for humankind brought opportunity for you and I to say yes, for Jesus to be our Lord. And so hell is a very real place that is for those who rejected Christ while living here on this earth. And let me be clear about what I'm saying. I'm not fabricating this. This is not Jeff's opinion. This is God's truth. So I'm not here being a show-off or acting holier than thou. I'm just sharing God's truths with you as we see in his word. Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. And again, if you remember throughout this whole series as well, two things we have seen go on through the book of 2 Peter is God rescues the godly and he punishes the ungodly. So that's where we are today. And so what I want to do for the next few moments is share with you about living in the present future. I want to talk to you again about living in the present future. And for those of us who are followers of Christ and we believe what God's word says, knowing what the future holds, what does that look like for you and I as we wait for his return? So that's where we are. So if you are following along in your outlines, the first thing is this. Let the present future be motivation. Let the present future be motivation. Motivation for what future? What should be my motivation for the future? Well, as we saw in verse 13, Peter says that we are looking forward to a new heaven and we are looking for a new earth where righteousness will live. And that promise, that ultimate promise that God has given us is found in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. Now, Chick read that for us last week, and I sat there and I thought, oh man, he took my thunder. No, I'm just kidding. It's all God's word, right? So it's all good. So the idea here is that what he shared with us is that what Peter is saying is that the old is passing away by God's design, and the new is coming because of God's plan. How beautiful is that? The old is gone, and the new will come. And we see that righteousness will live among the new, because what we understand today is that Satan, the evil one, rules this world. And that is going to go. Chick also shared from that passage in Revelation 21 that death and mourning will be no more. pain and suffering and sorrow will need to find somewhere else to go. Not only that, but God himself will wipe every tear away. So no matter what you're dealing with or going through, the heartache, the brokenness, just the ugliness of this world, understanding that our motivation is that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Amen? Amen. And so then the question would be for us, what should motivate us here and now in the present? Because if we believe, again, that God's word is true, if we believe that there will be an end to all things, that should be our motivation. But yet Peter, what he shares here in verses 11 to 13 is four areas of our lifestyles that we should take a look at. And the first is this, to live holy. Peter says to live holy, to separate ourselves from sin and attach ourselves to God. Not only to live holy, but to live godly, to love God with everything that we are, and to serve him wholeheartedly. Not only that, but Peter is saying, remain faithful with the expectation that he is coming back. And finally, we are to look at our lifestyles by saying, am I sharing the love and good news of Jesus Christ? Our job on this earth, and what I'm learning in my own life, is not to be a spiritual bum, but to be diligent about the work of Christ, not only in my life, but to be able to share that with those who are in my circle of influence. So let the present future be motivation. Live today as if he was coming today. That question was asked a month ago when I taught. I said, you know, if you knew that he was coming today, would your plans change after church? Would you think, okay, where am I going to eat? Well, maybe Jesus will want to come eat with me. No, when he comes back, that's it. He's coming to take his children home. There will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth. So live as if he was returning today. So if we allow the present future to be our motivation, there's a question in your outline that asks this: what inspires me to live for Christ? What inspires me to live for Christ? Are we inspired that we are choosing to separate ourselves from what the world says is good? Are we choosing to love God with everything that we are, no matter how difficult it is, and to serve him wholeheartedly? Are we inspired because we are remaining faithful in the expectation of his coming? And we're inspired that we are able to share what Christ has done in our lives with those we work, with those we live, and those we play. So allow Christ to be your motivation. Not only that, but to be your inspiration as you anticipate his return. So as we talk about living in the present future, we first see that let the present future be motivation. The second is this: we let the present future produce action. We let the present future produce action. Not only does the present future motivate us, but it also, we begin to put it into practice. And the one thing that I thought about how this could work, you know, throughout our history of the world, we've had different periods and ages, right? We've had the Dark Ages, the Renaissance period, the Industrial Age, and the Information Age. You with me? Okay, good. But if we're looking at it from God's perspective, we are in an age of salvation. That age of salvation is from the time that Christ came as a baby until the time that he returns. And so when you hear us up here at times say, you know, today is a day of salvation, hopefully that kind of puts things into perspective now. From God's perspective, that time period is short. Or we could say it's long, because remember, the scoffers were saying, where's Christ? He hasn't returned yet. Now, that was only a little over 30 years after Christ's death, burial and resurrection and ascension into heaven. And you and I are here almost 1,900 plus years later, and he still hasn't returned. But yet we understand that this is our age of salvation. And when we begin to produce action, we begin to live holy, to live godly, to be faithful, and to be a part of his work, not only here, but even around the world. We learned about the age of salvation just a little bit and how God works. Chick shared with us last week in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." You see, we can understand that this age of salvation is a result of God's patience and his mercy in our lives. And so with that in mind, Peter again reminds us to make every effort. He not only says this here, but if you remember from the very beginning in 2 Peter, chapter 1, he says, make every effort. So he's reminding us again to do so, to make every effort to be ready for Christ's return. But when he shared it in chapter 1, he said, make your calling and your election sure. In other words, make sure you're living a life of obedience to God and you're setting yourself apart from the world. But yet now Peter is making that same appeal, but in the context of being prepared for when he does return. And so the question for us would be, well, then how are we supposed to look? Because that's really, maybe, when I first looked at it, I'm going, well, how am I supposed to look? Am I supposed to be dressed up? You know, what's going on here? Should I have a, you know, meal prepared? What's the deal? No, what he's saying here is this, is we are to be found spotless. We are to be keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. In other words, set apart. We are to be found blameless, understanding that it was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, again, on the cross for humankind. And it's only Jesus who washes away every sin. And anything other than that, I believe, will lead to destruction. Not only that, but we're to be found at peace. Found at peace with God, found at peace with ourselves, and found at peace with others. So it's not this, you know, everything's cool kind of peace. It goes so much deeper. That word there, peace, the Hebrew word is shalom. Having a well-being. So it's so much deeper than things are cool, man. It's having that well-being with God, with ourselves, and with others. And for those of us who have experienced salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, this is wonderful news for us. It's wonderful, beautiful news to live in peace, to live spotless and blameless. Because it only comes from God's patience with us. And remember, too, that, again, this is a choice that we can make each and every day. But we need to understand that the alternative is destruction. Not only is the alternative destruction, but it's destruction along with those who twist the truth. And we need to remember that misinterpretation of Scripture will also lead to destruction. We also see in verses 14 through 16 that Peter mentions the Apostle Paul and how Paul had writings about this. And I will say this, that the thing about these two gentlemen, Peter and Paul, in regards to their message of salvation, is that it was consistent. It was very consistent. Paul mentions about salvation and having peace with God in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." So again, I'll repeat it. Salvation comes from placing our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man, no woman, no person comes to the Heavenly Father but through me." And so when we place our faith in him and cry out to him and say, "I want you to be my Lord, I want you to be my Savior," that is when we find true peace. And so if we let the present future produce action today, the question that we have is this: is my life a reflection of my salvation? Is my life a reflection of my salvation? Is my life tainted by the world, or has it been covered by Christ? Have I been forgiven by placing my faith in Him? And do I have peace with God, myself, and others? Because that peace can only be found in Him. And so if you're saying, I don't know what it means to have peace with God, well, again, I'll say again, today is a day of salvation. And the elders and myself will be here after the service to share with you what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So as we talk about living in the present future, we let the present future be motivation. We let the present future produce action. And finally this morning, we cultivate the present. We cultivate the present. As I mentioned earlier, all throughout our series, two things have been going on. God rescues the godly, and He punishes the ungodly. But then the question is, if we're going to cultivate this present that we're talking about, what does that look like? What type of people ought we to be, as asked in verse 11 this morning? I would say that first of all, and this includes myself, that we begin to live out this faith that we proclaim. Then what does that look like? Well, for starters, we can see the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, he says, "So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." So let me say that again. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. In other words, that our job is not to be ignorant and arrogant and thinking that we have it all together, but we are reminded here in this passage to be on guard of the false teaching that goes on. Because there may be things in our lives that sound good, look good, but if it doesn't line up with God's word, then we must walk away and stay away, be on guard. Because the truth is, if you and I really think about this, if we put trust in ourselves, it's a recipe for disaster. I know if it's with me, if it's up to me, it's disaster. But dependence on God and God alone is our best defense against false teaching. And so what happens is that we begin to live our lives proactively and not reactively, and not falling for every single thing that sounds good to us. Again, as has been said here many times before, is that if we don't stand for something, we will fall for anything. And yet when we cultivate our present, it means that we firmly anchor ourselves into God and His truths, because God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Again, He has given us His Son as a sacrifice for humankind. He not only gave us His Son, He gave us His Spirit. For those of us who are followers in Christ, God's Spirit lives within us. He is our guide. He is our counselor as we maneuver ourselves through this thing called life. Not only He has given us His Spirit, He is giving us His church. This family of believers, this spiritual family, this community of faith, whatever you want to call it. But we have this body who meets consistently, encourages one another, as the scriptures say. And not only that, we have this church where that we are not alone in this thing called life, where we can choose to do life deeply. Whether it's doing life deeply through connecting in a small group, whether it's, you know what, maybe it's service here at the church. And so the elders would be glad to share with you some of the needs of the church. But He has given us those things for life and godliness. So not only that, but we grow in His grace and in His knowledge. See, when we're growing this way, we are staying away from doctrine or error, and we are staying away from false teaching. And so when we are walking away from the false teaching and walking away from the doctrine or error, we're walking to the truths of Christ and His Word. And what we see is that when we grow in grace, we understand that this is God's unmerited favor to us. And this, again, takes us back to 2 Peter chapter 1 in verses 2, 3, and 5. It says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. For this very reason, make every effort. Peter goes on to say to make every effort to add to your faith goodness, knowledge, godliness, love for others. And so when we see this passage here from the beginning, and we see verses 17 and 18 today, these are our bookends to 2 Peter. Not only are they bookends for us, but they are the antidote to false teaching. When we grow in his grace, we enjoy more of it. Again, the unmerited favor that God gives us. That grace is our spiritual nourishment. And that's found in him alone. And so we grow in his grace, deepening our faith, seeing what is the antidote to live set apart, to live godly, to grow more in knowing who he is, to love others who are unlovable, to do the things that are hard, but knowing that they're right. An anonymous quote that I found when I Googled the word grace, and it says this, it says, after Jesus, there is no sweeter word in the Bible than grace. It's the greatest unused resource in all the world. It is the wealth of God's kindness, the riches of his mercy, the soothing ointment of his forgiveness, the free and undeserved but lavishly offered hope of eternal life. So we can grow in his grace. Not only do we grow in his grace, but we grow in his knowledge. It's not just knowing about Jesus, who is just some guy who lived a few thousand years ago, died on a cross, because a lot of people died on crosses, you know, back in the day. And no, but it's having a knowledge of him. It's not just, as the ladies learned a couple years ago, not just believing in God, but believing God. And to know Christ is to know truth. And to know truth is to know freedom. You see, Peter had grown in that grace and knowledge of Christ. He experienced Christ's salvation for himself. And you know what? For those of us who have committed ourselves to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have experienced that ourselves. We went from brokenness to wholeness. We went from bondage to freedom. And so we understand what Peter is saying here. You see, Jesus was Peter's Savior. And Peter followed him because Jesus was his Lord. And so as we talk about cultivating our present, the question that we ask ourselves is this: what area or areas of my life do I need to grow? What area or areas of my life do I need to grow? It may be as simple as, you know what? I've been coming to Hope for a while and I haven't connected. And that may be an easy or hard thing for some of you. But if you just take a look in that FY, you'll see where you can connect just via the small groups or the ladies' Bible study or other things that are going on within our church. You may recognize that I need to begin to understand that Christianity is not a consumer thing. Understanding that I need to grow up in this area because I've been taking advantage of Christianity. And maybe today I come to the point where I recognize that I have to understand that there is a cost to following Christ. And today I want to reevaluate my life and take a look at the cost of following him and not just continuing to consume. It may be that you say, listen, the only time that I open my Bible is for the 5 minutes that the teacher up here on Sunday morning reads the word. And I recognize that's the area that I need to grow in his grace and in his knowledge, because I want to know him more and more and more. But that's for you to answer. That's between you and the Heavenly Father. I can't answer for you, and you can't answer for me, right? But we can begin to evaluate that and say, what is it? Where have I fallen when it comes to Christ's truths? And where do I need to continue to grow in His grace? And not just know about Him, but know of Him. So continue to strengthen your faith. Continue to live in Christ. And continue to choose grace. So living in this present future, we talked about allowing it to be motivation. We talked about it being producing action. And for you and I is to cultivate the present. So that brings us to the here and now as we close. There was a quote given by author and pastor John Piper on the book of 2 Peter. And he says this: "The message of 2 Peter is that the joy of hope is the power of godliness, and the knowledge of God's promises is the pathway to His power, and the promises, the power, the hope, and the godliness are all because of His grace." And so as we take just the next few moments just to reflect upon what we have heard today from God's Word, the question that we have this morning is this: do I see today that it does matter where I place my hope and trust? Does it matter where I place my hope and trust? We here at Hope Community Church believe that a hope and a trust in anything other than Jesus Christ is destruction. And that's hard to say, because a lot of times we want to come in here and say, tell me something good. Give me the good stuff. But yet if we're not challenged and we don't allow God to move our hearts, then we're in danger of falling away. We're in danger of believing anything that sounds good. I want to share with you to prepare for His return. Be motivated to live for Him. Put what you've learned from His truths into action. Grow in His grace and in His knowledge. And I would also say, put your life under the spotlight of eternity. And invest in things that will last. And as we see here, God's goal in our lives as followers of Him is to see Jesus Christ be glorified. And that's how Peter ends 2 Peter, where he says again, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, You, God, are a God who, as we've read this morning, are patient with us. And yet, Lord, it seems at times that I know for myself, and maybe others will agree with me, that we see You as a convenience. And we call out to You when we're in trouble. We call out to You when things are going wrong. And yet what we see here today, Lord, we have been challenged to live lives that are holy, lives that are godly, lives that are faithful, and lives that are living out the faith that we proclaim. Lord, it's hard at times to open that Bible. It's hard to get up on a Sunday morning. It's hard because we can make all kinds of excuses and to justify in our minds that it's all right. Father, if there's anything that we have learned from 2 Peter, is that we would really hold on and anchor ourselves into You. Begin with me, Father. Lord, take our hearts and transform our minds, and that we would choose to be that living sacrifice. Lord, may we place our hope and trust in our only hope, and that hope is Jesus. May we not walk away today just thinking that, you know what, great, another message. I'm glad I made it today. But Lord, that we would take this to heart and live as if you were returning, not counting how many days you haven't come yet, but to live in the hope and anticipation that you will. So Father, wherever we are this morning, may we understand that today is a day of salvation. Today is a day where we can come to you and come back and say, the heart of worship, I want to be about you, God. So Father, as we close, we want to worship you, the great I am. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, you are worthy of all glory and all honor and all praise. So may our hearts be grateful for what you have taught us in this series. May we not forget what you have done for us as we wait in the anticipation of a new heaven and a new earth. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.